despite the rain attempt to keep us at home, right? We have a couple of announcements. So March has come and gone so fast. Don't forget the coffee shop has shirts that are for sale. And these are not just shirts. All the proceeds are going to go back into the church. And so we want to be supporting that. So cool that we have a coffee shop. This weekend, the 3rd and the 4th, is our Ladies Joy Conference. It might be one of my very favorite conferences. So, ladies, if you're questioning whether it'll be worth it, it will be worth it. The 6th, the Watch Info booth will be set up in the foyer, so be watching for that. Pun intended. VBS bake sale. Let Sister Christy know. Now all I am is yours. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost. Now I'm alive in you. I found a love greater.
Got to thinking about it, some activity together again, and told him, said, we're not going to have to do that surgery.
Wow, thank you, Jesus.
So that was
wow.
a major turnaround. So prayer has already moved forward, but we continue to pray. And so for all of our people that we have been praying for, let's continue to pray for them. Brother Jerry Newberry's aunt, many of you would remember Mary Newberry. She passed away this past week, and her service is on April the 3rd at 10 a.m. So let's continue to pray for that family. And if you have a need in your body or life tonight, we will be glad to anoint you and pray a special prayer for you. So let's just touch the hem of his garment right now.
Coming and you're coming.
wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior. So thrilled to be able to tell you a nice thing. Brother and Sister Armstrong had gone some time ago to help another church, and they felt the timing was right to come back to the United Pentecostal Church and to put their hearts with yours again. Brother Randy, why don't you just stand up and just leave a short testimony for... That is awesome. Praise God. And the offertors are coming to receive the evening offering, and we appreciate all that's going on in this wonderful building and all that's happening around here. It's just wonderful. And so if you haven't noticed it, you can out there at the rail of the old entrance. Brother Josh has put some stainless steel in place of that former galvanized pipe. And it's quite attractive, Brother Josh, and we appreciate that. Well, God bless these people as they give tonight, as they have done so many times. And I pray the glory of the Lord fill this tabernacle because of giving worship, giving money, and giving of their time. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's a table that you prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body, the blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my
Pastor's wife is over in Dallas area. leading that ladies' meeting that happens every year. And I know she would appreciate knowing that this family has prayed for that meeting today and tonight, and I will actually start tomorrow, and what all's going on over there. So why don't we pray a special prayer for that, her. Father, we thank you for the work that's gone into that ladies' retreat ministry, and I pray that the power of the Lord rest upon my wife, the leader of the district, and all of those wonderful ladies that have gathered together to plant seed and to stir up the gift to make the world a better place to live. Jesus' name. God bless you as you're seated. And what a thrill it is to share life people that really like the kingdom of God and the body of Christ. I don't know if I have a real title to what I'm going to try to do tonight, but I'd like to refer to it as experiences. We all have different levels of experiences, and we look forward to some and just look at some situations and wonder if it's an experience that you can endure. But tonight I'd like for us to just think about the word experience, because we look at the Bible and we see so many experiences in the Bible, and some of them are quite intense and involved. So there's no less money in the world than in times past. There's actually more. Elijah felt he was the only one that cared, and a voice from heaven said, "Don't believe in the they voices. I have 7,000 men that have not given in. They are conscious of the value system," and this is going out of the exact representation of the word, "and they are standing for the values of life." And of course they were talking about the kingdom and the way of God and the glory of God, and so they were dealing with that in a very special way. So 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, and verse 11 and through 20. And he said, Brother Lester, would you come read this real quickly? It's right here. I'm going to have to take a quick break. Right here, 1 Kings 16, down to
the Lord. And he said, "Go forth and stand before the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by." Make sure I'm in the right place. "And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What dost thou hear, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with a sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go return unto the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anointest Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shall thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of shall thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, Go back again, for what have I done to thee? Praise God.
And so you sense the awesomeness of opposition and things that were happening that were bigger than they and him. And what an experience it had to feel like. And so we are being challenged in our generation with all kind of unusual things. And we are having to experience a lot of change from years gone by. The Word of God doesn't change, but what happens in our world is changing. And so learning how to advantage ourselves with the sword, the Word of God and the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord and the sword of the Lord. And so we have to take advantage of how we face the experiences that are going on. We are being challenged in so many ways. And so God's people, they never give up. We have determined to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life. And so in the process of what's going on now, and that is many are experiencing deprivation of various sorts, opposition of various sorts, very varied idealisms concerning godliness, holiness, righteousness, and so much things are happening right now. And so the law of alignment is a really critical area right now. And so looking unto that one God is the only way that we are going to experience the total package. Now, I have some writing here today that I'd like to mention. And maybe somebody would get ready to read Psalms 34:19 a minute. Has anybody got a Bible there you could read there in just a minute when I call on you? Psalms 34:19. And so I'm going to read this out loud, and I'll pronounce the word they real carefully. They say we don't care. They say we don't love. They say we don't have courage. They say we will fall apart. They say that there are no good people left. They say that soon same-sex marriage will be as prominent as man and woman. Who are they? That's what we've got to decide. Who are they? What right do they have to crowd us into this land of or this kind of belief. Do they have the final authority in our lives? How can we handle what is happening? The experience of a nation that is experiencing deprivation in many, many fronts. Marriages, same-sex marriages, all kind of dope, all kind of fear, all kind of procrastination about the things that are important. Ladies and gentlemen, they must be seen about. They try to tell us that we are weird because we talk in tongues, that we are weird because we dress in a godly fashion and culture ourselves after the feminine gender and after the male gender. We work hard with the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He created us as a special individual, and that male and female are to design themselves after the plan of God. And so the worst thing that can happen to any human is to lose their hope. The Bible makes it very clear that we are saved by hope. But just as the word grace has been abused, it's easy to abuse the word hope. We are saved by faith. We are saved from the world by the power of the Holy Ghost. We come out of a sinful nature and we begin to walk after the Spirit, and that cultivating power source of the Word and the Spirit create the aura of all things possible. Nothing shall be impossible. And so that is the structure. It's not just like many people have said, all you got to do is say that since grace, it just takes care of it all. We're all saved. Well, the Bible does say we're saved by grace. But how many people know what they're saved from and what they're saved into? Because salvation is a total transformation according to the will of the Word. And that means that we walk out of darkness into His marvelous light. And into that particular experience, we experience the light that shineth into the darkness, and we can see the way to avoid catastrophe in our marriage, see the way to avoid problems with people. We just forgive them like God did. God did forgive us way before we accepted the forgiveness. He forgave us so He could be free to be the Almighty God, to be able to always have a holiness and a godliness and a power structure called the Word of the Lord and the blood of the Lord that He gave, so that we through Him can be baptized into His name, and we are washed by the water, by the Word. And so these things are, they're not just another story or a cute sermon or a cute this song or whatever. We are right at the edge of the finale of all things possible. So they say, how can we handle what is happening? Do they have the final authority in our lives? What right do they have to crowd us into the kinds of belief that are happening in the world? We should not stray, not one jot nor tittle, from the Word of God. This is the day that the Lord hath made. And the righteous said, I will rejoice and be glad therein. I will walk in the light. I will not go over into the shadows of the dark, the weird, the ungodly, the unrighteous concepts of life. I will walk in the light. I will look up unto my Redeemer. My Redeemer liveth, and he is posturing through the world right now, parading a process of whosoever will, let them come and drink of the water of life freely, and they will find help for their fatigue, for their marriage complications. And we have been given the absolute right as the bride of Christ or the body of Christ to do that work in our city, in our country, in our homes. And we work the work of God. And so right now, they that think they have the final authority in life, and they try to handle what is happening in the world of fornication and mismanagement of life in so many ways, the worst thing that can happen to any human is to lose their hope. And so the writer just pinned it, hope thou in God. Well, what does he mean when he said we're saved by hope? Well, what he means, we are saved into the next level of spiritual empowerment through the Word. And as we study the Word, we begin to walk in the truth by the power of the Spirit. And so when the Antichrist spirit comes in, we don't fall for the pitiful side of instructions given by human thought. Humans have tried to take this wonderful book and twist it just a little bit. And every time they see a word saved, if you go through there and see the word saved, you will see there are many ways that you could, if you did not understand the simplicity of truth. Truth is the load-bearing power structure of our future. Walking in the truth leads us down a path and up a way that will lead us into the spiritual economy of the everlasting life. And so I don't want to wait and try to do it after they start putting me in the grave. I want to do it today. I want to live it today. I want to live it in the morning. I want to walk it in the morning. I want to talk it in the morning. I want to help us to talk in the morning. I want us to talk like God would say, if you are carrying a heavy load, come to me and I will be with you. I will help you in the day of trouble. I will walk with you. And so the body of Christ shares that same responsibility and thankfulness. Yes, sir. I see that you're a little piqued. I want to put some special spirit in your life. You mean a lot to Pastor. You mean a lot to my brother. You mean a lot to my sister. It just feels nice to have somebody come around and look at you in the eye and say, we love you. It's wonderful to be able to be a part of the body of Christ, not just a member of a local church. We are the body of the Almighty God. And when I'm in trouble, my brother sticks up for me and says, let me tell you what, he may not be the greatest person. He may not be the strongest person. He may not do everything perfect, but I tell you what, he's got a touch of God on his life. He's got a power structure working in him, and he's going to help our city. He's going to help our government. He's going to help do things in our world that is going to absolutely create experiences that so many people wish they could experience, and yet they have not accomplished that. So, reviewing American values, values of our home, values of our education, the values of our time with God, the value of our activities for fellowship, the value which we allow ourselves to be involved in TV and video and books, etc. What value is coming from that to our home, to our children, to our mother, to our father, to our brother, to our sister? We must appreciate but never allow the media to cause news to part truth and leave us somewhat invaluable. Anybody can complain. Anybody can walk in fear. Anybody can walk in doubt. Anybody can become succumbed by all of that stuff that's going on out there, making us believe almost that all of this is not going to happen. I'm experiencing a God moment daily. I refuse to not have a God moment daily. I refuse to not just have a moment, but to create by that moment a realization that there is a structure that provides that one moment and leads me into a new venue. So what a wonderful, wonderful thing. Let's look real quickly at some people that had some trouble. A lot of this I worked on because seeing so many people that supposedly are Christian, and yet they are constantly plagued with fear and lack of faith. Faith makes everything possible. All things possible through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. It's not enough to just join a facility or a place. It is we join ourselves with the Almighty God. And then we walk in that light that is the Spirit, and then that Spirit joins us with the Word, and we become welded to a process of strength. And the Bible uses the term, you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That structure is phenomenal. It is not just a moment. So he says, you will have a spirit that will lead and guide you into all truth, meaning that the Word of God is already in place, the fruit of the Spirit, the power structure of the Spirit, and the glory of how to use the Spirit. And all of that is in place. And that's why we have preaching three times at least a week. That's really falling short nowadays with all that's going on. People are so attracted to television and sports and all of the things that are going on out there in the world. And the kids are following their parents to do all of that. No, I don't think it's all a sin to see a little ball playing and to involve yourself in ball playing. But the sin factor, or sin is, again, sin is just separation from the operation of the Holy Spirit. Sin is not just like a one thing deal. Whosoever doubts moves into a sinful situation. Doubt is a power structure to put us away from that awesomeness of the Holy Spirit. This whole concept is seen in the Old Testament, the biblical heroes, and every one of these found a lot of problems in their life. And that's why I wanted to bring them to the front tonight and realize we're not the only group that's had a problem, that we have problems every day. He said, trouble is with you always. So he told us that up front. So he said, just beware. In other words, be sensitive, lest at any time you begin to doubt, lest at any time you begin to fade away from the structure of faith. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. It is amazing what faith can do. Faith can reach out through your arms, and it may struggle you to lift up this heavy load and take it over to the altar and say, God, I'm putting that situation on the altar, and I'm going to let you do the work of the Spirit that is in me. And I am going to just begin to praise you because you have a promise in my life that if I will give you my troubles and give you my sin, you will cast them into the outer darkness for me and with me. And so in any time you're faced with a complication, get to the altar. If it's trouble in the home, take it to Calvary. Put it right there where the bloodline is. That's why the cross is so important in our lives, that we remember that blood that was shed on Calvary for every home, every human, every family, every government. That blood was shed so that we could get free from the law of sin and death that is overtaking our school system, that is overtaking our economy system. Why don't we pray for America right now? I mean, just take a couple of minutes and let's plead the blood of Jesus over our local area and the USA. Father, on this Wednesday night, we didn't just come to go through a little lesson. We came to get bread and we came to get wine, and we plan to go out of here to our tomorrow, and we are going to awaken the angels, and we are going to attract the angels to lead and guide us through the Holy Ghost, through this world. God, we're not just going to be a group. We are the people of God. We are the children of the Most High. We have been given credibility in the universe to call on angels. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't we just praise Him for the opportunity that lives right out there outside of our life, our physical life. God, we on this Wednesday night, we lift our hearts, our minds, our spirits. We want the experience that goes along. Think about, I actually went through quite a bit of a setting, but Job faced the way of the writer. He wrote it simply, and I want to read it exactly because he includes it in a very good way. He faced catastrophic losses, including the death of his children, the destruction of his wealth, severe health issues. His friends accused him of wrongdoing, adding to his anguish. Despite his immense suffering, Job persevered, refusing to curse God, meaning turn from God. Let God have his world. Let God do his thing. I'm out of it. And I have watched people do that too many times. They give up because that the situation of enemy spirits start working in their life. So he maintained his faith arguing his case to God and seeking understanding. And then he rose up to say, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his face. I will bring in his face means his glory. And when you get in his face, you're in his glory, and you can see through the eyes of faith, the eyes of God. And when the eyes of God penetrate that void of vague and valuelessness, he suddenly empowers you with an infusion. And all of a sudden, hallelujah, oh God, I thank you so much. This is what I've been needing, Jesus. I've just been needing a touch of heaven. I've just been needing a more really a renewing of the spirit. I just need this glory. I'm not able in myself to do it, but I know that you have the economy that can afford every need in my body. So Moses, think of Moses leading such a rebellious people. What an experience. Moses faced such numerous challenges, including rejection by the Israelites, no less, Pharaoh's opposition, the constant complaints of the people. Despite all of these difficulties, Moses persevered by faithfully following God's commands, leading the Israelites out of Egypt and through the wilderness for 40 years. As today, as I was going through all of this, and I thought it would be nice if we tried to think how if we would have been Moses. What would we have been irritated by? What irritation would have happened to us by prevailing people? Sometimes just somebody doing something on the highway can get our goat. Thousands that he was trained by God to lead through the wilderness. What would you have done at the Red Sea? Would we have done what so many people are doing? I just don't think there's any way out of this. I think we got to get a divorce. I think I'm going to have to kill my neighbor. I just don't think there's any way out of this. He has made me mad so many times about my kids. I don't think there's any way out of this. But Moses kept looking. He kept telling the people, we're going to make it. This is going to happen. I know this God. I believe in this God. But you're looking at an America right now that in God we trust don't mean what it used to mean. But the Pentecostals of Paris, Texas are about to rise up with the sword of the Spirit and are about to rise up in newness and freshness and going to walk into the highways and the byways, and the people of the city are going to feel the impact of a people that have said, I believe in this God. I don't trust in things. I trust in the mighty God. I trust in the Word. I trust in the Bible. I trust in preaching. I trust in worship. I trust in covenants with God. I'm ready to dance in your presence, God. I'll be glad to shout unto you. I'll be glad to praise your name during the day, because I have a covenant with you that you said, I will be with you always. I will never leave you. I will never depart from you. As long as you be with me, I will be with you, but I will never force you to be with me. I will be your God and you shall be my people. Why don't we just take a minute and stand up and give him a little praise? It don't even have to be loud. He's looking in tonight. He's wanting to be a part of this meeting in a big way. Why don't you be seated for a minute? David, over having to overcome personal and external adversaries, adversities. David experienced threats from King Saul. He was betrayed by close allies and personal failures. But through repentance and reliance on God, David persevered, overcoming his trials, and ultimately becoming a revered king and a man after God's own heart. We read it in Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack for nothing." What an experience David had with all of the things that came against him. And he looked up and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I will never have to want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." It's going to honor him to honor me. It's going to lift me up so I can honor him. And we're going to have a relationship that we are going to be able to do exceeding abundantly above it all. We're not just a group of people going to a building and not just listening to a guy preach. We are going to hear the word of God and move it into our hands and move it into our feet and move it into our home and move it to our marketplace. And we are going to shake this nation with a revival that is going to scare the powers of the Antichrist. Ladies and gentlemen, you can, I can, we can, and there's no need to worry when you live in that deep covenant. I'm hearing too many people that go to churches. "I fear this is happening, and I fear that is happening, and I'm scared this is going to happen, and I'm just so worried about this people and all of these people." No. Pray for them that despitefully use you. What that does, that puts more angels at work. When we pray for those that despitefully use us, the angels are attracted to that kind of adversity. They come and they begin to assist us, and they begin to agitate the people that try to provoke us. But way too often, we think that their provocation is able to destroy us. How could somebody making fun of you destroy you? Could somebody making light of you destroy you when you are in Jesus Christ, in the Word, in the Spirit? All things are possible. Don't you let the devil steal that out of your mind. Don't you let the devil take that out of your house and your heart. I am in Christ Jesus, a new creation. I didn't just get baptized to join the Pentecostals. I didn't talk in tongues just to join a group of tongue talkers. I have seen them on TV talking in tongues and never changing their life. So talking in tongues by itself is not the deal. We have been filled with a spirit that is greater than the world and the grave. I said we are filled with a spirit that is greater than the world and the grave. He was God Almighty, and God became sin in the body called Jesus Christ, and then he walked in the power of the Spirit, doing miracles and signs and wonders inside that human body. And then they put that body on the cross and they nailed him to the cross and they beat his body. And in that moment, there was something happening that nobody realized. They was crucifying the flesh of God. They thought when they put that body in the grave, they got rid of the Messiah. No, when he came out of the graveyard, he covered the earth with his glory, which was already in place. The clouds, the sky, all of that was already in place. That was his glory. But he literally filtered right into it in a measurable way that said, sir, no matter how many sins you might have ever committed, I'm able to get rid of them for you and your children, your family, your brothers, your sisters, your friends. I am able to give you, Mama, the strength to endure all of the afflictions. That's why I want you to experience those experiences in that Bible. All of those people, Job and all of those people, David and all of that, they were threatened by so many things. And when I was staggered as I looked at the thousands of people that 30 or 40,000 that Moses is trying to do with and all of that stuff. And I'm thinking, you know, man, what would I have done? Moses was like us. He was real. He felt the pressure. He just totally sold out to God. Way back yonder. Totally gave his life to God. What a God. But now, you don't have to be led that way. Now, he's in you. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Okay? Then Christ in you, the hope of glory, is that same God. Because if God is in Christ and you get Christ in you in the Holy Ghost, that is the same thing. It's not just talking in tongues. I hear too many people say, now that you're talking in tongues, you're saved. They're born again. When you're born again of the water and the Spirit, you need a pastor that will teach you how to use that power structure. I've watched them on TV. I've watched them in different settings just walk around talking in tongues, walking around talking in tongues. And God came all the way down here to put it in his book. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. We don't just talk in tongues over on top of all the junk. We cleanse our hearts, and then when we talk in tongues, there is a relationship that begins to join with us in the Spirit. And when we come out of that structural moment or that in just phenomenal Spirit, when we have talked in tongues, you're probably within the next 24 hours going to have thoughts that totally agree somewhere in this book. That's what I found out in my life. That when I have a spiritual occasion to speak in tongues, it's not long after that that some word of God floats into my mind that will help this city, that will help the church that I pastor, the people that I love and care for. It is just amazing how this schematic, it's greater than electricity. It's greater than these phones that can go through an invisible airwave and begin to talk to others. Ladies and gentlemen, if that can work, there is a God in heaven that's looking down at your life tonight. He's got thousands of angels that are waiting to help you and me to get through this old world, and not naked, but clothed in the righteous garments of heavenly power. Oh, halabahanda. I'm telling you, there's something in this house tonight that says there's no weapon formed. We're going to make it. We're going to rise to the occasion. We're not waiting on everything else to happen. We are going to make it happen in my life first. And my kids are going to sense it. And my wife and my husband and our family and our friends and our word neighbors are going to feel the love of God. Hey, neighbor, I love you, buddy. I want to tell you something. If you ever need my rake, I'll sell it to you. Now, if you ever need my rake, I'll let you use it. Just remember where to put it back. We ought to have the most fun of anybody in the world. Walking with Jesus, living in the Holy Ghost, walking in the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. I sense in this place right now that we ought to pray for our neighbors. Didn't put that in my notes, but right now there's a good time just to take a minute and pray the blood of Jesus on your neighbor right now. Father, I pray the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Sister Mary Lou, would you just come play a little music? I think we ought to just let the Spirit of the Lord just govern us for a little bit here. I'm just going to forbid the rest of this. I think we've preached enough. I think that I have said what I really, my heart and God want. But what I would like for us to do is just to get into a spirit, and you don't have to talk in tongues loud, but I really encourage you right now. There is just such a heavenly atmosphere that I sense in this building that if you can, howbeit in the Spirit we speak mysteries, for the Spirit itself maketh intercession with God. And that is going to increase your intense power to go into the world with a greater light. You may not say much of anything, but your light is going to be increased. Would you just play some music, Sister Mary Lou, if you could, and just go ahead and rev it up a little bit so that we don't feel like we're just talking in tongues around with other people. We are in the Holy Spirit right now. There is such a hovering of angels surrounding this place right now. He callable. While we're praying like this, if there's anybody that needs a touch of God in your body, there's a spirit of healing in this house right now. And if you need a healing in your body, please come on to the front and I'll anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith over your body. There is a miracle happening in this house tonight. Thank you. anybody else that wants to be anointed with oil. The Bible said the prayer of faith, they shall anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Realizations is the more trouble you have, the more victory you will experience in the New Jerusalem. I want to make that very clear in this message tonight, that God doesn't just allow you to go through things. We get faith by realizing some of those stories of David, Moses, of those things. Pharaoh tried to come against them, but they could not overcome the power structure of a God that is like ours. And the grave is not going to hold the people that are full of His Spirit. So the experiences of battles and struggles is all to give you more medals of honor. They're not called medals of honor. It's called victories in the Bible. And that's what is going to be. So what a wonderful thing. Could we stand and just clap our hands to God before we leave this house? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Just a minute.